Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite and glide. Hello friends, welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. Joining us for the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hi.
Aaron.
Hi.
And Jason.
Hello.
We are back again with another 45-minute feature film.
Yeah. Was it only 45 minutes?
Yeah, it was another
it feels short. It's, you know, every one of those minutes is just jam-packed with nutrients.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't quote me on this, because I've never been to the country, but from my understanding, anime films are played in double features, and that's why they're on the shorter side. Because there's just two of them that get played together.
Interesting.
Again, don't quote me, but I think that's the case.
I bet Matt would.
I wonder what you would pair this with.
A lesser film.
Clearly.
Because that's all films.
Maybe that's why those Sentai movies always feel so short. Maybe they pair a Sentai one up with a Kamen Rider one or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're literally broadcast as pairs.
Like TV specials?
Like if you watch a Kamen Rider movie, you get another Kamen Rider movie just attached to it.
Yeah, it's true.
I guess that would be three or four movies for the price of one. That's great. That's a great value.
Good deal. Head on down.
So for this month, we are watching Super Android 13.
Woo! Yep. The Japanese title is fascinating to me.
Yes, let's get that up front this time, because we did forget last time.
Yes, my apologies. The Japanese title roughly translates to Extreme Battle! The Three Great Super Saiyans.
Yep.
We have had much worse titles on here.
Mm-hmm.
Do we focus on the hero or the villain?
10 billion warriors.
I think that's the best one. Like, in the whole series.
It's really good.
It took us until the movies to get to it. But
it's imposing.
It's the best one.
But before we begin discussing this hit film, something happens at the very beginning that got us all nostalgic for the before times.
Mm-hmm.
So what is everybody's final experience going to a shopping mall, and or do you have a favorite shopping mall?
So for the listeners at home, see, what a shopping mall is, this is before Amazon. What a shopping mall is, it's like Amazon, but in like buildings.
Yeah, and
you have to walk in and look at the products and buy
it's
them.
Amazon and for it's, the meat people.
And they have less.
It's lots of tiny different stores.
Yeah.
And each store has different things.
And they have less things overall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they have at least two GameStops per building.
Right. Sometimes it's an EB.
Mine was an EB.
That's even more before times.
Was about to say it was okay. Now get into this nostalgic gig. We had an electronics boutique that used to be a Walden Software.
This is like
y'all
in the age of like arch trees and everlasting dragons.
That's like the picture of human evolution from like chimp to man, but for electronics stores.
like one of those diagrams.
Completely.
The closer you get to like, you know, the Epic Games Store, the further up, more straight
the man stands up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna go make that image now after this recording.
Memes in real time.
I found a blog post about my hometown mall, which is oddly enough called Town Mall. It's town with an E at the end, so it's fancy.
They couldn't afford Hometown Mall.
No.
Sad.
Too many letters. Town Mall was developed.
Town Mall was already taken. XX Town Mall XX.
God.
Town Mall was developed by Jacobs, Visconti, and Jacobs, later the Jacobs Group of Cleveland, Ohio, as the second indoor mall in Middletown, directly competing with the City Center Mart in Middletown. The first store to open at Town Mall was McAlpin's on February 16th, 1975. So we had some anchors, we got a McAlpin's, we had a Sears, we had an Elderbearman. The McAlpin's turned into a Dillard's, I think, and then you had all the cool shit in the middle. It was shaped like the cross of Jesus. The way the concourses were laid out. You had your, you get your video games at the Walden Software, later the EB Games. You get your manga at Walden Books. You sit in front of the TV constantly playing VeggieTale reruns in the Christian bookstore while you're waiting for your mom to finish shopping and getting a haircut.
That's what I remember. That was my house.
Yep. And then
Christian bookstore.
And then you get your cookie or pretzel at the little food court nub. And that was like my go-to place. Like I shopped for my prom stuff at that mall.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Mm-hmm. But oh yeah,
there was the fountain in the middle with like steps down to it. Vaguely remember it, but I did lots of performances for like elementary school choirs down there.
Oh yeah,
I got barfed on there.
Oh dear.
In a dance, a performance dance thing.
It's not an experience I've had. Well, at least not barfed from another person.
Oh, there was an old-timey candy store there.
Ooh, yeah.
That, like, the front was...
the name?
I don't remember, but, like, the front of it was, like, paint... It looked like painted wood, like you'd find it in, like, an old western-y ghost town.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go up to
the scoops for the candy.
The big scoops in the barrel, so you could get a whole paper bag of lemon drops.
That's the best shit ever.
That was the good. It had all the weird fun candy... It had like those
wax soda bottles.
Oh, it had. Yep, it had those. had the dots on the paper that you.
Oh, I love the dots on the paper
that you could just tear into. Had them caramel.
It's
creams.
My favorite stocking candy for Christmas.
Oh, that's so good. But if you're feeling fancy, you can go up 20 minutes to Miamisburg, go to the Dayton Mall, get your nails did, go next door to Funko Land. Now that's the real shit.
When hairs are like rising on the back of Matt's neck somewhere.
that's where I got all my cool used games.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And they tried to sell me on them cleaning kits. Okay, so across from the Funko Land there is this arcade called Pocket Change.
Mm-hmm.
And it had this cool like glass. You know, like, those, like, weird, like, square glass that you find in, like, old diners? Like, those walls that are, like,
I think I know what you mean.
Very thick glass.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, like the like windows that aren't windows?
Yeah. It had, like, a whole facade of those in the front, and had all
just extremely thick sneeze guards.
And that's where I played Dance Dance Revolution for the first time. And here we are today. Mother,
Dave, any mall thoughts?
I did not really have a childhood mall, not one that I have specific memories of. But I think that's mostly because, like, I spent a lot of time in New York City or going to New York City as a kid, and
which is a mall that people live in.
Yeah, New York City is functionally just a mall, so that was where I was at.
The last time that I went to a mall was for a Pokemon Community Day for Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Because I could just walk in circles around the mall, hit those stops, hit those gyms.
Not have to talk to anyone.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to do that since because people don't wear masks here and I don't trust them.
That's very fair.
Sadly.
My heart goes out to you people who do not live in the Northeast. it's a grim... Humanity received a grim reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Unrelated, but I will say, I went to a drive-in theater last night, and the concession stand did have a sign that said, no mask, no service, and people did abide by it.
Hey, when it's standing between you and your popcorn...
Yeah.
What did they show? What did you go to watch?
I went to see Bill and Ted.
Oh, work!
Because I didn't want the only movie I saw in 2020 to be Sonic the Hedgehog. Which is the last time I went to a theater for anything.
Yes.
winner of 2020's Best Picture, Sonic the Hedgehog, the only movie that came out this year. Until Bill and Ted. Well, any other mall thoughts, or should we begin diving into Super Android 13?
Like that, there's no chance of hitting the bottom of that pool. That is, that pool is so deep.
And mall full thoughts? Of little coins that people wished on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hope that they got their wishes.
Yeah. I just
like without the Dragon Balls. What are you supposed to do?
That's what I keep telling them. Every time I see somebody tossing a coin in a fountain, I'm like, you need to get 7 Dragon Balls, idiot.
I'm going to be real. Like, before the pandemic times, my favorite, like, location to just fart around was a mall. If there's a mall out on the outskirts that I've never heard of, I want to go to it, and I don't want to buy anything.
I just want to walk around.
I just want to walk around and see what people are selling.
You want to race the old people that are power walking.
Yeah.
Browse the merchant's wares in the marketplace.
Oh, I gotta... I just remembered this. This was several years ago, but I have a mall story that must be recorded. Uh-oh. I don't remember if it ended up on What the Folklore or not. But...
Yeah, every time you have like a personal story or like a life story to tell, Tyler, it is always unforgettable in some way. So I want to hear whatever this is. I don't care what it is.
I don't remember the name of the mall. It is some mall here in Georgia. But Carmen and I were just walking it to just get some exercise and window shop for a while. Like you do, like we were just describing. Mm-hmm. No intention to buy anything. But there was a very odd beauty boutique sort of shop tucked away in a back corner of the mall that the salesperson was standing out in front of and coaxed us into, and it had a very strong aroma. It was lit like a dance club, so it was very dark in there with like neon lights, and in the very back they had a room full of salt that you could lie down in.
Loose salt.
It was just a room full of salt.
What were they trying to sell you? Like time in the room full of salt?
Yes. We declined.
I want to go into the salt room.
We did not go into the hyperbolic salt chamber.
Maybe it's really nice salt.
It could, yeah. It must have been very beautifying, but I was not interested.
Like you don't know how
in
much
your strange salt room.
You don't know how much power level you missed out on by declining that.
Yeah,
I guess you'll never know.
I just looked up some bizarre nonsense.
Yeah,
I'm learning about
salt rooms.
Yep, the Tranquility Salt Cave.
Ooh, that sounds familiar.
You're gonna have to tell me about this after the podcast.
This is local.
Uh-oh.
Time for some sleuthing.
Mm-hmm. More after this commercial break.
Yeah, let's start talking about this hit Dragon Ball Z film, Super Android 13.
Hit Mall Simulator Dragon Ball 13. Wait.
We begin, as always, with waves and rocks.
As the Lord intended.
We begin with two like vital ritual elements. The first is waves and rocks, mm-hmm. and the second is Zulong, who is always here eternally.
Ooh, he's got good fashion this time.
A lot of fashion.
I like his little Hawaiian palm tree shirt.
That's the only thing that's good about Zulong in this part.
We are swept away to the mountains first.
Oh, right.
Some snowy mountains.
Mm, lovely.
Where we get to see Dr. Giroux die again at the hands of one Android 17. And then as his oil blood spills on the floor, we pan down to a secret basement that has another secret lab in it. Not the one that has Cell.
No.
With another secreter lab.
With another secreter computer.
Yes, a second secreter computer.
Separate server. I have an important
Running
question.
Running its own experiments.
Mm-hmm.
When 17 did a stomp on the head of 20,
yeah,
were our heroes, weren't they, like, there? Didn't they watch that happen?
In the prime timeline, yes.
Okay, That further cements all the movies as existing on their own continuity.
They have to.
Because there's no way that we would witness the birth of Android 17 and 18 happen, and and then our heroes just go to a mall.
But in fact, that is what happens in this film.
Yes.
And as we said, contractually, Oolong is here.
Oolong is here.
I have to ask, like, are there super movies, and is Oolong in them in this way?
Just Broly so far, and I don't think he made it in that one.
No, he did not.
I don't remember Oolong in that.
I didn't see him there. I guess the contract ran out.
I didn't know to look for Oolong, because we hadn't gotten to the movies yet.
I mean, that contract does not extend past Z.
I mean, that's probably the real reason that, you know, they ended Z. Finally, because they, you know, just the union agreement with Oolong was just killing them.
But I am almost certain that years later, when they made a new Z movie called Battle of Gods, before Super was even a twinkle in someone's eye, I do think Oolong is in that movie.
God.
Yeah, if the events mirror the first arc of Super in that specific way, then I will have to agree with you, Tyler.
So anyway, Oolong, Roshi, Krillin, and future Trunks, quite a crew, are all waiting in line for the Miss World's Most Beautiful Girl World Competition.
What is future Trunks doing here with these rascals?
Right.
I don't know!
Why is he chaperoning these perverts?
Because it's him chaperoning. Let's make no mistake here.
Yeah.
He is the only responsible person here.
Maybe, like, Bulma was telling him, like, you need to get out of the house, go get some sunshine, enjoy the earth that isn't destroyed, go meet some not-apocalypse ladies. And Krillin's like, hey, yeah, I know where we can meet some non-apocalypse ladies.
This is the first thing he thought of.
Let me tell you.
He googled, like, women. and this was the first result.
He googled women and then went to the maps tab.
Yeah.
At your local mall.
This is a very bad scene.
They appear to be the only ones in line for this pageant and are apparently 3 hours early. So they say.
I mean, you know,
they're the only ones in this section of the building.
If you've ever been to a popular amusement park, you know the wisdom of that.
Yeah.
They don't have a fast pass.
Evidently, Dragon World has a Spain, a Russia, and a France,
and
as well as an Australia.
Yeah, and an Australia. And Roshi and Oolong are excited to see ladies from all of them. But Krillin says that he is here for a more noble purpose.
Yes.
Which is looking for a wife.
He's going to poach a wife from this competition.
Looking for a wifey.
he's looking for a wife city.
Still horny on Maine in this timeline.
I have a very stupid theory. France, Spain, Russia, Australia. Those are just all names of towns.
There's.
Yeah. That makes sense. About as likely as
works
anything.
For me.
Yeah, that's like bizarrely like consistent characterization, though. Even if it's the bad characterization, because if this is Android's era, that is what Krillin was thinking about at this point.
Yeah, he was recently crushed his own heart.
Yep.
They all leave Trunks behind to save their spot in line, and he laments not joining the San family for a shopping spree.
Still has a sword, which I noted.
Where do they go? To peek in the dressing room.
Of course.
Of course.
No, maybe they went on a panty raid.
Chi-Chi is hunting down deals like a bloodhound, just fighting other women
for the
clearance items.
Chi-Chi is a true fighter.
Yeah.
And her arena is Macy's.
Yeah. That's her World Martial Arts Tournament. World Macy's Arts Tournament. She keeps throwing boxes to Goku, who now has a stack of them that is probably taller than he is.
Absolutely.
But he does an incredible job of catching them. It's like Goku is doing some like Tom the Cat shit in the episodes where he has to catch a whole bunch of plates to avoid waking up a dog. Like that's the degree of competence.
You know the episode.
That's the degree of competence Goku is showing here. It's very impressive.
Some other lady claps. She's impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was I.
Goku is apparently reminded of that time he watched mud wrestling with his 11-year-old son.
Goku, what are you doing?
He's just flipping around the channels. Saw something interesting.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
He wanted wrestling to check their like power fighting. Levels.
Yeah.
he would have said, you know, I can't do it.
Chi-Chi is planning to get Goku some hot new duds because she is tired of him wearing that same old gi year in and year out. Mm-hmm. Suddenly there is an explosion nearby.
Chaos.
Somewhere else in town. And it appears to have been caused by a short little purple pimp man with a big old hat. And he is joined by a big brawny gray man with a ponytail and a loincloth.
He is joined by Potemkin from Guilty Gear.
Yeah, like there's no other way to describe them. A tiny pimp with an incredible hat.
Mm-hmm. Incredible hat.
What kind of hat is that? It's like a
looks
Scottish,
like an oversized golfer's hat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he does.
He looks like he's you know taken his ladies to a golf course, which it is disturbing for a number.
But
of reasons.
Like, it doesn't sag at all. Like, it's perfectly. It's like a perfect oblong shape. It looks like a UFO kind of.
It's how you know he's the best.
Red, with a pom pom,
little
top.
Red pom pom on top.
That's how can you know we, his power level.
Can we, in the true spirit of calling out character designs, can we take this moment to address the fact that his design is kind of some bullshit here?
It's very.
I mean,
bad.
It's
very bad racist caricature.
It's the good old Popo.
Yeah, it's
this
syndrome.
There is so much of that in this movie. It's so bizarre.
Yeah,
like it's. It's never this concentrated, like, even in... I don't know, was it this bad in Dragon Ball? Like,
oh, it's worse in Dragon Ball.
That's fair,
it's worse.
But...
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's where a lot of it originated, but, like, I was just amazed by how concentrated it is.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's a character design with, like, a zoot suit is what he's wearing.
Yeah.
He has a character quirk of pulling out a hip flask.
He does take a lot of drags on a flask, despite being an android.
Yeah, which,
I assume it's oil?
Yeah,
maybe.
That was my guess. His dub actor put on a bit of a stereotypical accent. So
I could not laugh at this because it is so ridiculous. But it's not good.
They do both also have big, conspicuous RR patterns on their clothing.
Yes.
What could that possibly 15's mean?
15's is a giant bow tie.
The trivia section of this character's wiki page says that this android is the only android to wear a red ribbon.
Isn't... Oh. Oh, the actual literal red ribbon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did the members of the Red Ribbon Army wear red ribbons?
Nope. Nope, they sure didn't.
They just wore
just their logo.
They just wore insignia.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They wordlessly and effortlessly cause a bunch of mayhem, apparently hunting for something in the city, and just walking towards it.
Mm-hmm. Just
it, with a very relaxed gait.
Yeah. Cracking through,
I love
like,
how they...
plate glass windows.
Yeah.
Just rip through a truck.
Yep.
Reminiscent of Nappa swimming through that plane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They
brush it aside.
Perfectly slice a cop car in half.
The San family meet up for lunch with the pageant group, who have discovered that they were waiting for the event on the wrong day.
Good job.
So they wasted 6 hours for nothing.
Well, we've all been there.
But now they are ready to do it again tomorrow.
Great.
Yeah, is it Roshi that says, you know, we've built stamina for doing it again tomorrow?
Get that Zenkai boost.
The two mystery men, who are obviously androids, so I'll just say that from now on.
That's fair.
Androids 15 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
15 being the short one and 14 being the tall one. They march relentlessly towards their quarry. Just walking through display cases in the mall.
There's a shot of them just casually going up the escalator. in the background, and it's really funny to me because they don't look any more out of place than the average Dragon World inhabitant.
Sure. Several very good animal people in this movie, in the background.
Chi-Chi, while they're all eating together, is very concerned that if Goku were ever to stop training, he would eventually grow obese from all of the food that he eats.
Uh-huh. Chi-Chi, you should be used to this by now.
I have good news training. From the future for Chi-Chi.
He never stops.
You're future Trunks in this situation. Uh-huh. Bring a message from the future.
Tyler, the boy from the future.
Goku will literally leave you before he stops training.
Well, yeah, as previously stated, that's the best outcome for everyone involved.
Yeah.
I think Gohan basically says as much in this movie without quite realizing that's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The two androids find their target, which is obviously Goku. Yeah. And they attack him with a ki blast from a floor below the restaurant.
It's a good shot of them like locking onto him through the floor.
Mm-hmm. It's really fun. The sound design is the sound is completely cut out for this, and it's a great watching like the chaos slowly approaching Goku, and then we cut back to Goku and his friends eating food.
It's just stuff in their faces.
And then cut back, like we're between the two shots, and it's just fun when the worlds finally collide.
The Z-Warriors that are all there work together to save the other patrons of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And Goku realizes that the explosion wasn't caused by any sort of bomb, but it was an energy blast. Strangely, he could not sense it beforehand, though.
Goku uses his box-carrying skills to carry just the entire restaurant of people.
Yeah, it is a circus act level of people he is carrying.
It's like a little Katamari Damacy, just a ball of humans.
Goku is attacked by the two androids, and he realizes they are more of Jiro's creations, recognizing the red ribbon clothing.
Oh. That's why he couldn't sense their energy.
Because they're androids.
Remember that mechanic?
Like, briefly?
Yeah.
And this is the first time that 15 takes a long drag from a flask.
It's to fill up on that oil. Like, if he's an android, I don't think he's got, like, a throat.
No, probably not.
Does it just dribble out?
No.
He's or maybe it's just empty.
That's what the giant ribbon is for. It's a bib.
It's like Barbossa in the first Pirates movie. Just does it in pursuit of humanity.
Mm-hmm. So now the fighting begins between Goku and these two androids.
Yeah.
Trunks flies back after getting everybody to safety to help Goku, who's getting ganged up upon. And they are quick to take the fight out of the city so that no other civilians or property gets damaged.
That we have to draw.
Mm-hmm. It can be both.
All right. Spin that wheel, Tyler. What's going to be our battleground this time? Is it forests? Is it wasteland? Mountains? Hills?
We actually got an interesting change this time around.
Yeah.
It's still a wasteland, but it's like an iceberg.
It's a wasteland that says we need to get rid of all our blue paint.
We've also seen that before a bunch of times, like in the movies, I think. Mm-hmm. So it is very cool, though. I'm here for it.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Aesthetic,
very cool.
Got
lots of fun ice to crack.
I walked right into that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's cool.
a delayed action timer. On that
I was
joke.
Thinking about how cool the ice looked when they broke it.
That is also cool.
That's what I meant. It's also it's great. Cool.
Gohan wants to go help, but Krillin is feeling outclassed as usual.
Yeah.
Chi-Chi tries to stop her son from going because his summer school is supposed to start tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But Gohan just asks if she values his studies more than the life of her husband, and then flies away before getting an answer.
Gohan is not pulling any punches right now.
It's, The one funny thing about this, as we see in, you know, the epilogue in GT, is that, like, it all pays off. Like, Gohan does indeed become a respected, like, scholar and academic. And it seems to agree with him. So, fair enough, Chi-Chi, I guess.
Krillin sagely agrees with Gohan's point, saying that he is 100% behind him, to which Chi-Chi begins to beat his ass and kick him into the sky to go help her son.
Yeah, Krillin. Yeah, Chi-Chi. I love getting to see Chi-Chi fight.
Even if it's just Krillin.
Hey, listen. Krillin, the superpowered martial artist, was still rubbing his cheeks after Chi-Chi low-kicked them. After Chi-Chi 2L'd them.
Chi-Chi has the power to be involved in the Z crew. She just
has
other priorities.
Yeah.
Back in Jiro's secret lab, a third pod opens, and this one is labeled 13.
Oh, that's why this movie's called that.
Oh, that's the name of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
I love the voice of the robot announcing. It's like if the robot that is getting cell ready is like a capable mother robot, sinister and knowing what she's doing. This is the goofy dad robot.
I'm Dr. Gero. Go kill Goku.
This fucking computer.
Yeah.
Is unhinged.
Yeah,
he's just like, number 13! Kill Goku! Yes, Queen!
I don't know if the implication is that the computer has started to think that it's Dr. Gero.
No, that is specifically said later.
It is?
That is what's happening, yes.
I did miss that then.
Which makes me think that maybe it, like, had Gero's memories transmitted to it, like, from the moment of his death, and so it has been driven mad by the fact that he literally died and had to experience dying.
Goku and Trunks begin their fight with the androids in the snowy icebergs, and they get whooped pretty handily at first.
Yeah, these androids are the real deal.
And then, off-screen, they are insulted by Dr. Gero's finest creation yet, just the perfect replicant of humanity on Dragon World, a racist trucker guy.
This yep. guy.
Just the picture of Dragon World as an android.
We need to talk about this man.
Salt of the earth.
Basically, the first thing he says is that they're going to get an ass whooping.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Are they allowed to do that?
Can they say ass in this show?
Can he do that?
These are the unedited films, so they're allowed to get a little salty.
Oh,
okay. So like not the theater cut or what have you?
Yeah.
All right. We've never seen...
This is not the VHS cut. This is the DVD with all the blood and swears
in
it.
You have to go to your mall Suncoast Video and get it there.
You gotta get this off the dark net.
Yeah, that is a Suncoast. You're correct.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
There's a shot of 14 and 15 standing next to each other. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they took time and the Arctic winds are a-blowing, and the fact that they took time to animate 14's ponytail flying and plapping 15 in the face.
It's a very nice detail.
So, like, you did not have to do that, and I am so glad you did.
It could have just been a still shot, but you had some fun with it instead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we all appreciate that.
That's the vibe I'm getting from a lot of the drawings in this movie, is there's some zazz in them. They had time to put a little spice in there.
That's what makes it a movie. A little extra time, a little extra money.
A little extra racism. Yeah, they got all of it, you know, the whole package.
This movie's all a little extra.
That is how I would describe it. I would describe this movie as the most, even though, again, there's not really very much of it. So we need to go down my list of things 13 says in this movie.
Yes, please.
He says he's going to give Goku and Trunks an ass whooping. He says...
Important to note that the dub voice that they have chosen to do is like an old-timey country lawyer.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just a humble android hell-bent on murder.
He says that him coming out here was pointless because, you know, they obviously can't even handle the other two. Which he phrases as, if you can't handle the Indians, why bring out the chief? Mm-hmm. He calls Goku a city boy, and he insults Trunks.
Which, like, the computer is definitely wrong there.
Yeah, fucking,
by definition,
that fucking
the least city boy in Dragon
that
World.
That fucking bug robot was spying on him all his life. It should know damn well that he has never lived in a city. And he insults Trunks and says that he and his $30 haircut are not going to be able to do anything to him. Mm-hmm. And he also actually says yeehaw at one point. And he literally says the phrase, I'm just getting warmed up, verbatim.
Great.
He's perfect. This is incredible. Yes, it is perfection. Like
he's the perfect villain.
I mean, really, it's like it's continuity breaking, because mm-hmm. you know we were told that that Cell was Dr. Gero's perfect creation and that he attained right. perfection, but like that's clearly not true because we've seen perfection right here in this terrible racist trucker man.
Man, imagine if Cell had absorbed this guy.
I don't even want to think about it.
No, that would have been the end. Speaking of scaling up power levels, like, mm-hmm. considering how things go between everybody involved, like, between this movie and GT, Frieza really just looks like a useless piece of shit, huh? Like, Frieza was just a sad sack.
He's just some guy.
Yeah. Some asshole.
In space.
From what I hear, Super reestablishes that hierarchy.
Goku is upset to learn that even Dr. Gero's computer is trying to kill him now.
That's
making brand new robots, even though the doctor is very dead.
That's so good.
The 13th says, I was programmed to kill your ass, and that's exactly what I'm gonna do, you hear?
Said ass again.
You're not allowed to be this spicy.
He's a naughty guy.
This is where Trunks, I think, calls him a red ribbon redneck.
Yes, he asks if they have any free will or if they're just pawns to the dead Dr. Gero. To which 13 hits him with some, like, fantastic whataboutism. I'm just gonna play the whole clip because it is a delight in the dub.
Free will. Pitiful humans. War, segregation, hatred. Is that what you've done with your free will, boy? Don't you lecture me with your $30 haircut. Goku dies.
Yes.
Like, what are you talking about, dude? What does that have to do with anything?
The word pitiful human sounds very wrong coming out of this guy's mouth. Like, that's mm-hmm. not how he talks at all. It definitely, you know, trips my like threshold for, you know, like an inhuman or like strange being, which if it ever says like the phrase,
it's
foolish,
it's an audible uncanny valley.
Yes, if it ever my policy is if it ever says the phrase foolish blind humans or any rough equivalent of that, you mm-hmm. can kill it. It's like there's obvious this is not going to go anywhere.
No good will come of it.
No.
I really want to take the phrase, don't you lecture me with your $30
haircut
into my lexicon.
It's a good phrase.
Anytime someone's talking nonsense at me.
This is like, this movie is so fucking weird. Because, like, again, it is very bad in certain, like, very objective, like, explicitly problematic ways. The worst of any of the movies. At least, that we have seen.
Thus far.
But
I will remind everyone that Hitler makes an appearance in one of these movies.
Oh,
God.
Boy.
Oh, yep. We haven't... I didn't realize that was a DBZ movie. That happens. Oh, boy, I'm excited for that. But, like, so, like, that is very true. It's a real problem. But so much genuine effort went into this movie, in really strange ways. A lot of the animation is super good.
Mm-hmm.
The antagonists are imaginative, and like even a lot of like the shitty dialogue and racist stuff is like immaculately localized, like like you could not have been this like proficiently racist unless you paid attention to detail and knew what you were doing, like for an American mm-hmm. audience.
Yeah,
it's like if the guy who localized like the first Metal Gear Solid was a shithead. It's fascinating. And so bizarre.
And to my knowledge, I don't think, like, 15 What with the unfortunate stereotypical accent. Mm-hmm. I think in the sub, he doesn't actually like. I don't know if this is better or worse. Probably worse. In the sub, he doesn't like have any lines outside of just like saying people's names.
Hmm.
Like he just says Son Goku or Trunks.
Mm. He's just there to call him out.
Yeah,
just an android pointed in a direction.
I mean, his eyes are the scouters, so yeah. That makes some sense.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
While Trunks takes on 14 and 15, Goku gets blasted into the ocean by 13, and Krillin struggles to keep Gohan from jumping into the fray.
Mm-hmm.
Trunks eventually remembers that he has a sword, and he uses that to attack 14, but the android just catches it between two fingers.
Ooh.
Oh, it's so cool.
Styling on him.
You love those.
He yanks it out of his hand, he tosses the boy to the ground, and then he throws the sword at him.
Don't even step to him with that shit.
Who do you think this guy is? Frieza? Please.
Goku struggles to catch an admittedly cool-looking blast from Android 13.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that has, like, the dense core and then sort of, like, a shield outline around
it.
Yeah,
and it's all, like, is it, like, red and crackly?
Mm-hmm. But he is saved by the Prince of All Entrances.
Yeah, yeah. It's Vegeta!
Where was Vegeta, he baby? This whole time? He was just under a block of ice waiting.
Was he the boy in the glacier? How long has he been waiting there?
Buddy, what are you doing, bud?
He's been waiting there since the Fire Nation attack.
Vegeta is the Fire Nation, though. Let's be real.
Those two statements are not necessarily mutually exclusive.
He has his typical "no one gets to kill Goku but me" type of line.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason he's helping Baka.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, naturally.
It's not like he cares.
Right. He gets paired up with Android 15 for his fight.
I love how he insults 15 by calling him little man on the one enemy combatant in this show shorter than him.
Yeah, he takes his chances when he gets them. There's a fun little bit in their fight where 15 rides Vegeta like a snowboard. I did enjoy that.
That's fun.
It turns out, though, that Vegeta was tactically allowing himself to get beat up in order to separate 15 from the group. And then he grabs him by the arms and he blows up his hat and glasses.
Oh no.
The hat goes flying away and catches fire in the energy blast as it's flying up, which is wonderful.
So powerful.
It shows 15's exposed brain,
yep.
So I guess Jiro didn't get past that design quirk until... Well, I guess, yeah, he took a break from it between 15 and then 19 and 20.
That was a phase that he goes through in his artistic career.
I like how they're...
Maybe 17, 8... Well, 16 definitely doesn't, because we see he has a mohawk, but maybe 17 and 18 have exposed brains under their hair.
They just have wigs?
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hair is all clip-on. there's... I don't know where else to mention this, but I will say that there is a funny bit that they keep doing of 15 walking through snow and then falling until it's up to his chin.
He just sinks.
He's just too small.
And then he pops out.
I think it's a combination of being small and also just very dense because he's an android.
He's a metal man.
Mm-hmm. He's a metal Mario.
Goku finally remembers that he can be a Super Saiyan.
Yeah!
And Trunks and Vegeta remember at the same time.
Three Super Saiyans at once?
The Japanese title.
Whoa! Yeah.
Did anybody catch the line that Krillin says? I forgot to go back and write it down.
It sounds like he says it's a Super Saiyan triune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that's a word.
It is a word.
Triune is a word, yes.
But it's usually in the context of, like, the triune god of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Oh, word.
Well, Goku's been a ghost, and has also sometimes been a Christ-like figure in this show.
Mm-hmm. And Vegeta and Trunks are Father and Son.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nailed it, Krillin.
Checkmate, atheist.
Go write that gospel.
No one has, because nobody fucking knows who Goku is on this planet. Except for King Furry and the news guy.
15 takes another drag from his flask before asking Vegeta to dance.
Everything about him would be wonderful if he didn't look the way he does. It makes me so sad, because I can't just love this ridiculous little man and his robot flask.
My love for this movie comes with a very big, bold asterisk.
Yes, it is a baffling experience from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So a lot of that bafflement is entertainment, but...
Gohan fires a blast at 13 to try and help his dad out, but this just angers the android, who retaliates with a blast of his own.
Oh no, Gohan's in danger and nobody's here to save him.
Gohan is saved by yet another ki blast from under the ice, and he reflexively thanks Piccolo before he even sees him.
He's a smart boy.
What's Piccolo been doing this whole time? You know
what have Piccolo and Vegeta been doing under the ice?
Here's what I think has happened. I think that Piccolo and Vegeta and Bulma were a third mall group shopping and were late because Bulma was, you know, trying out different dresses and not just goofing off in the clearance section. And Piccolo sensed, oh no, Gohan is in danger. Hey, I've got a great idea, Vegeta. Let's beat them to the nearest uninhabited place, wait until we're needed, and then we pop out dramatically.
It's gonna be so rad.
Can I give you something stupider?
Bulma and yes. Vegeta shopping trip.
I wanna say Piccolo and Vegeta got into an argument about who could withstand being in ice longer.
That's better.
And the fight with the androids has interrupted their contest of endurance.
Yep, I buy it.
Piccolo hops up out of the ice and he grabs 13 by the feet and he Solonga Bowsers him into the ice.
Yeah. Damn right. Piccolo basically always has good entrances in these movies, but this is a choice one.
Especially when he grabs 13 and goes, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah, I love Piccolo in this movie. It's very good.
Vegeta and 15 clash together samurai style, and then 15 laughs mockingly, not knowing that he's already dead.
Omae wa mo shinderu.
His head pops off and he explodes.
Yeah, we get two Kurosawa moments here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Trunks does the same thing, but actually with a sword.
Yeah, so he wins.
And I think vertically? Like, I think he's falling while 14 is flying up.
13 finds himself alone, but simply begins to laugh, and then he incorporates some key components from the other androids into his physiology.
You thought they were destroyed, but no.
As in, like, he... Like, their central processors or whatever just come out of their bodies and levitate towards him.
To him.
And then are absorbed.
Fascinating.
Directly into his chest and temples.
So what you're telling me is that Jiro had a plan to have an android incorporate the other androids into his body to assume a more perfect form.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah, that, again, another way that...
perfect might be strong in this case, because I do believe it's a downgrade, visually.
Oh, yes.
I think so, too, because he turns into a Street Fighter character.
Yeah, I said it. I wrote down exactly the same thing. He turns into Blue Blanca.
Yeah.
Now, however, to be fair, Cell's first evolution was also a downgrade, visually.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, another baffling way that this movie had a lot of effort put into it. It's like it doesn't make any sense in the timeline at all, but then also they put a lot of effort to make other parts of it make sense in the timeline. Like, this makes sense as a trial run for Cell.
Mm-hmm.
What happened if Cell?
He's working out the math still.
What would happen if Cell absorbed this guy?
Again,
like after he was already complete.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, we can't even speculate on that. It's too terrifying.
Double
13 transforms into an enormous blue man with a shock of bright orange hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd.
It's short, like Vegeta shaped hair.
Mm-hmm. Vegeta rushes in as usual and is immediately trounced.
He gets like pulled like a rubber band over the blue man's knee.
Yeah. Trunks tries to help his father, but is swatted away. Mm-hmm. And Piccolo is next to fall.
Ah, I love this game of punch idiots.
Yeah.
Goku takes his turn, but is grabbed by the leg, punched directly in the dick, and then thrown to the ground.
Yeah, that was a direct hit there, wasn't it?
You've done a wonderful job in this episode so far, Tyler, of just describing these things in the most just prosaic, accurate terms. Like, yep, this is what happens in the movie.
I'm painting a mind picture for you all. You don't even have to watch the movie. You already did. Mm-hmm. Just listen to me. He punches the Super Saiyan out of him, which, you know, I feel is accurate.
Yeah.
Given the point of attack.
That's where it's stored.
Mm-hmm. I think this is another concept that goes back to the very beginning of the podcast. Like where Saiyans store different important elements.
Yeah, usually it's the tail.
Oh yes. You posited that the ape parts are stored in the tail. I remember now.
See, maybe that's it. Maybe he punched where the tail was.
Oh.
It kind of dislodged.
It was like a tailbone attack?
Yeah, tailbone. It dislodged that chakra. Tailbone.
13 continues to thrash Goku up and down like a ragdoll through this icy cavern. Mm-hmm. And we see his health bar dropping because his shirt is getting torn up. He gets blasted into the ocean where he begins to prepare a spirit bomb upside down. Then Gohan is the only one left standing to face 13.
Gohan doesn't do a lot in this movie aside from firing pot shots and shouting out, "Father! Dad!
Mm-hmm.
Dad there!"
This movie isn't about him.
No.
He's just another one of the punch idiots.
Goku begins to rise from the ocean, collecting the Earth's energy for the spirit bomb.
Again.
Yep.
Not for the first or last time.
And all of the Z Warriors stand up one last time to take a turn against 13 to give Goku time to amass the energy he needs.
This is where I think 13 does like a Bane backbreaker moment on I want to say Vegeta?
Mm-hmm. This is the rubber band.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
This is while serene music is playing. Right. By the way. It's harmonious.
The spirit bomb music.
Yeah.
The
music is really weird here.
Trunks has the sickest burn, I think, in the entire fucking show.
Yeah.
He introduces himself as Trunks and how he is from the future. And then he says, "You know what's funny about the future? You're not in it." Which is the most intimidating thing I think anyone could say to another person.
The rawest that. Own in Dragon Ball thing. History.
Yeah. That is molecular.
Yeah, I would... I'm gonna I hope I have a chance to use that in a story one day as a shout out to this.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happened to 13 in Trunks' timeline. Did 17 and 18 just get fed up with his bull dookie? I can't bring myself to cuss like him. I'm not salty like an android.
And he already took up all the whole quota.
Well, my thinking is maybe they're not even in that timeline, because that's the timeline. If this is the lab
just got destroyed before they were done.
If this is the dumb movie timeline, then, just hang on. Give me a quick, side spoiler for future movies. Do they mention Cell at all in any other movies for Z?
Yeah, I think in the next one.
Huh. I was gonna say, there was no Cell in the movie timeline because the secret super revenge plan was this and not Cell.
Was just, a different... Mm.
So
plot.
I don't know.
Maybe the next one's a different timeline again.
Though I don't like that explanation because it makes Trunks' burn less rad.
Yeah,
I agree.
The timeline wouldn't have had him in it anyway. So
yeah,
no, we just it's okay if it doesn't make sense in this case because Trunks earned it.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
He's worth it.
He does get swatted away though.
He does, yeah.
Despite his very good burn.
He tried to, use charisma as his attack stat, and it just didn't work out.
If I was the DM, I would have just given it to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have, yeah.
13 tries to disrupt the spirit bomb, but Piccolo rushes in with a suplex.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
and lifts him up so that his beam goes off track.
That hurtle off into the air.
And let us note that this spirit bomb is fucking enormous.
Yeah,
it's pretty big.
I don't think we see a spirit bomb like this before, and we don't see one like this until, like, the big one with Kid Buu.
Mm-hmm. And even that's
not quite
like
this.
He's on
a living planet this time. He's not on Namek. He's not... The Earth hasn't been, like,
in
destroyed.
Kai World.
Yeah. He's on a full living planet with deer that are alive.
We saw deer. They're doing good.
So you
the
were,
deer are all right.
So you,
as they say.
So you were very sure to remind us before this episode, before we watched the movie for this episode, that 13 is voiced by the same guy who did 17 and Kibito.
Yes, correct.
Which
quite a range on that fella.
It's not the craziest like voice actor parallel I've ever seen, but I think it's in my top five.
Goku transforms again to a Super Saiyan, which Krillin makes note of, meaning that he is in fact pure.
For anybody who was
that,
wondering,
doing that
at camera.
The same time as the Spirit Bomb.
Oh, right, that was the other thing I wrote down for the Trunks bit, which is that he successfully distracts 13 by expositing backstory at him.
He's pure. I was wondering what the hell he's talking about. So I went over to the sub, and basically it was something to the Krillin says, you can't create a Genki Dama as a Super Saiyan. You can't create a Genki Dama with a malicious heart, Goku.
Mm-hmm.
But he does it.
He does do it.
It made me realize, oh yeah, Goku usually is never Super Saiyan when he does the Spirit Bomb. Is that like a thing?
Well, it's
you have to have a pure heart, yeah.
It's
been mentioned.
You know, like when he first does it in Frieza, like a lot of time is spent on the fact that like he changes significantly in like personality and attitude. When he becomes a Super Saiyan, he becomes more terrible and merciless. And then that like never.
It's a malicious energy.
And then that never matters again ever for any other transformation or for Super Saiyan itself. So
he bottles that up.
But I it was very cool when it was a thing. I guess that's what they're talking about here. Krillin is surprised for that reason.
Rather than throw the bomb, Goku absorbs all of the energy into himself.
Yeah.
And then he expands his golden aura to Spirit Bomb size and then rushes at 13.
He can't do that. Can he do that?
He's doing
does it.
It
and it that. Looks so cool but scary. This isn't my Goku. This is an evil Goku.
Yeah, it is.
He's
dire,
angry.
Yeah.
13 could no longer even touch Goku because getting close with his fists just cracks them open.
They literally start disintegrating.
And then Goku makes a very, very dumb face.
Yes, yes.
So dumb, but scary.
Like a Liefeld drawing.
I lament that this is an audio podcast, so we can't show it to you.
The gums.
It's a lot of gum.
A lot of gum in that. A
lot of bottom gum. You don't typically see those.
He's really gritting his teeth.
Yep. He's so angry, so muscular, so beefy strong.
It's really good.
He punches a hole into 13's chest and then throws him further into the aura where the android just completely explodes. And man, they were proud of that dumb face because they use it again.
Do they?
Immediately afterwards.
Good.
To show how pure of heart Goku is.
Pure of heart and big of gum.
he's God's perfect idiot.
For some reason, 13 exploding causes Jiro's supercomputer to power down. It just turns off.
It's too much power.
Just can't take it. Just like the big Getty Star. Can't handle it all.
The Z-Warriors rest on a floating iceberg, having all helped save the day once more on Dragon World.
My question is, did Goku melt the Arctic with his Genki Dama soul?
With his golden aura?
The environment destruction.
Spirit bomb?
The environment destruction in this movie is really good. The Arctic ice cracking and upending, mm-hmm. and explosions bursting through it from underwater. It's spectacular.
Even just the detail they went to like animate people's reflections in the ice.
Yeah.
There was so much effort in
like,
that.
Like, having to draw the animation backwards, basically. Goku, Krillin, Trunks, and Gohan go to goof it up at the hospital.
Krillin probably injures himself seriously, thrashing around.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to the best ending of anything in this entire franchise, as far as I'm concerned.
Just a wonderful dub moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a fourth wall break. We have Piccolo and Vegeta sharing a tiny floating iceberg together.
Just slumped there, sitting down.
What
the fuck is happening in this?
Why are they hanging out so much?
They're continuing their chili contest.
Yeah, this is the last piece of ice they have, and they're going to continue this contest.
And Piccolo asks, "Is it over?" To which Vegeta responds, "Not till the fish jumps." And then a fish jumps out of the water, and he says, "It's over." And the credits begin.
This
and
is
then
so good.
They couldn't let that amazing moment lie without cranking it up a little farther. And then it's not the immigrant song, but it's like the anime immigrant song.
Yeah, it's the great value store brand recreation of it.
What is this?
How do you even
face
like,
in the chat? And I can't,
yeah, for the listeners, we're looking at this dumb face again. And how do you even do that with your bottom lip?
It's caught on the frame of the camera.
And I mean, you know, Tyler, you go Super Saiyan. You know,
his eyes
none of us have ever done it, so we can't say what happens to your lip.
Yeah, this looks like a drawing of Vegeta.
It really does. Because we don't see what the hairline looks like.
I think it's a movie.
Yeah, I think it was a movie.
We have, based on available evidence, we have no choice but to conclude that it was a movie. the lack of an alternative.
Any other final thoughts for this movie?
This is a fascinating movie.
I think I heard someone say this once about a very different kind of movie. But I think it applies here. I don't think it was a good movie, but I do know that it ruled. I draw a strong distinction between those things. Oh, yes, other last note. 13 calls Piccolo Big Green when he appears.
He does.
That happens.
I did forget to mention
It's wonderful.
That's true, he canonical. Did.
So do we want to check in with any other characters before we close out? I don't know like what Hercule or Videl or Marin would be doing at this in this nebulous timeline of the movies.
Mm-hmm. I want to know their favorite stores at the mall.
I think Hercule has like a dedicated store for his own merch. Some nice Satan stationery.
Satan's gifts.
It's called Satanary.
You can get yourself a nice journal. You know, some soft flowy loungewear that's kind of like adjacent.
His patented color.
Brown.
Everything is brown. Got Satan bobbleheads.
It's called Satan Brown, though.
Yeah.
It's like one single RGB value place away from like other more common, the nearest common brown, so that he could trade so that he could trademark it.
Exactly.
Right. Does Videl like to go into this store?
Probably not.
Certainly not.
She sees too much of her dad's face at home.
She's in the back. She's at the Walden Books.
She sees enough cardboard cutouts of her dad at home.
They print out way too many of those that they're able to use, so Videl just kind of like takes the extras, puts them in her room, and like dresses them up and gives them like personalities. And she makes like a cardboard detective club.
Preferable.
Just her and her dad's.
Yeah.
Her cardboard dad's.
Dad detective.
Jason, do you have a 4-star reading for us?
I do. And it was kind of tricky to land on the birthday for this. I'm going to tell you why. In this movie, the three main villains are androids 13, 14, and 15, right? Androids 13, 14, and 15 are mentioned in a manga on the cover of Piccolo versus Android 17, which aired, which was chapter 367, looking at the wiki, airing on March 31st, 1992. which would make them Ares's. But these guys are just mentioned, and they're just have like a vague silhouette of a person.
The debut is the movie.
The debut, their true debut, is the movie, right? So I'm going to solve that real easily. Because this 4-star rating is about Super Android 13.
Okay.
Who did, by all intents and
purposes... Definitely debuted
in front of us right here. Mm-hmm. And contains all of the other androids from this movie. So we're just going to get them all in one fell swoop.
That's you know what we call that, Jay? We call it lateral thinking.
That's right.
Yeah, you never cease to amaze me.
Is Super Android 13 in Ares as well?
No. Super Android 13 has an anime debut date of July 11th, 1992.
Ooh, a Cancer.
Cancer season, baby.
Oh, boy.
So, androids, Super Android 13, this is your reading. You may be brimming with a lot of good energy right now, but you don't have many ways to exert it. None of your friends are in need, and all the details of your life are all under control and neatly wrapped up. So, what do you do with all that excess pent-up energy you're feeling? Why not exercise? You don't have to go crazy. Just take a brisk jog around the neighborhood. You'll feel great afterwards. Make sure to stay hydrated.
Take a brisk jog, punch a guy in the dick.
So... None of his friends need help because they're all dead and have been absorbed into him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he contains a person who frequently hydrates. So, with a flask. So, you know, all of this, it all checks out.
Mm-hmm. Checks out.
You've done it again, Jay.
The stars do not lie, David.
No,
I told you.
I know this.
I told you.
Thank you all for listening to our monthly excursions into the DBZ film catalog. I appreciate everyone who tunes in when we release these episodes. Dave, what would you like the fans to know?
Oh, as always, I am Scythe, Psythe, an archive of our own. I write fan fiction. This will probably be like the 10th time I'll say, hope to have some cool project coming out soon, and then it never materializes, but I will say it again, I guess.
We'll lend
keep
you
the dream
our energy.
Alive.
Yes,
we'll keep hoping.
Aaron, how about you?
I am a Destructo Discourse exclusive.
Jason?
I'm on the internet not super often, but you can find me with the name Jaycalves. Jaycalves. And that'll take you to my Twitter, take you to my Instagram, it'll take you to my Twitch.tv, which is where you'll most likely find me, because I usually find myself streaming on Wednesday evenings. So... And
what are you going to be streaming, Jason?
By the time this comes out, I've been lately playing Tales of Berseria, which is a fun...
But what's coming up on the docket?
Oh, well, I've got a few things in the works. I've got a copy of Xenoverse 2 I'm ready to crack into. I got a few...
That's relevant to the podcast.
A few goofy iPad games here and there... and I managed to log in to my original MapleStory account from 15 years ago, and the characters are still there.
I think this is the important thing.
It's time to power level.
Yeah, let's see how MapleStory has changed since, high school.
Oh, Lord.
This show has a Twitter account at Destructo_Disc, D-I-S-C. Pinned there is an invitation to join our fan Discord server, which is still up and still active, and sometimes still getting new members, so thank you all for joining us there.
Yeah.
And we also have a email at destructodiscourse@gmail.com, and if you would be so kind, please leave a rating and a review for this show on your podcast service of choice, your Apple Podcasts, your Spotify's, your wherever you're listening to this.
Are we on Spotify?
Just to let other people know about it. I think so. I'll have to double check. I vaguely remember submitting it, but I'll have to double check. Please also make it a 4-star rating for the 4-star ball.
The Gohan.
The Gohan.
Which we hold dear.
Give us the Gohan.
Tyler, is the podcast over?
Not till the fish jumps. It's over. The road ahead you seem so cold. Never
things today. Don't you be afraid, go fly away.